This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's Mix and Match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Welcome to Killing Time, hosted by two girls, one goth. And you guys, it's such a great week. It's our brand new first degree 2.0 week. How are we feeling?
Thrilled.
Wonderful.
I just want to make a little bit of a note because we all posted our new picture with our new logo. It's chic. It's beautiful. Our amazing friend Claire took the photos. And when I posted on my Instagram, about 80% of the comments were about my ring. And about 50% of those comments were about if I photoshopped my ring onto my finger. And I just wanted to acknowledge that and say, yes, I did.
But you know what? That is the new you. You needed your new ring on.
I know. Yeah. But the funniest part of it is the way that I went about it is I was thinking it was going to be a tiny podcast logo. And I'm like, it's tiny. Like you can't like zoom in and see anything. I'm not going to really pay attention to how I'm photoshopping it on. I did it very haphazardly and like didn't really pay attention to it. So I didn't really think about the fact that it was going to be also on Instagram and people are going to be zooming in on my finger. So Everybody with your suspicions, you were right. I did Photoshop it on. And for that, I apologize.
And you guys are listening to the right podcast because you're all little sleuths, aren't you?
Yes, exactly. So this is really First Degree and Killing Time 2.0. So we are not messing around anymore.
Nope.
So please go. And this is a call for if you haven't given us a review or if you have, please go give us a nice review. That would be wonderful because we are going to start climbing the charts.
That's right, bitches. Yeah, go give us a nice 5-star review if you're out there and you haven't done it. That sounds so nice.
That would be nice. We'd appreciate that.
All right, Billy, should we jump into the dark day?
Yes, the dark day. Today is November 4th, and it is the day that Wayne Allen Ford walked into a police station in Humboldt County with a woman's severed breast in his pocket. Now, this was in November of 1998, and he walked in and confessed to 4 murders.
And Alexis and I actually both did an episode of Talking Evil on this very case.
We sure did. And it was disturbing.
It was very, very disturbing. The episode of Evil Lives Here was about his ex-wife, right?
Yeah, because I think he was abusive, but not... You know, I don't think everyone in his life expected that.
Right. I think that with his ex-wife, he was doing weird things like making her get naked and driving around with her, and he was sexually abusive. But then he went on, and his victims were all sex workers, and I think one hitchhiker, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the victims were Patricia Temez, Lynette White, Tina Gibbs, and then an unidentified woman who they only found her torso. And with this guy... One of the most frightening things is that, like with so many trucker killers, because that's what he was, they didn't know they had a serial killer. So right. This is a guy that they weren't even looking for.
Well, they're so transient.
Yeah.
And there was a, when I was like doing a little bit of extra research on this, he said that he claimed that he was so drunk during the murders that he wouldn't be surprised if he had engaged in necrophilia with them, but he didn't remember if he did or not.
Ew.
So this guy was a big old piece of shit.
Anyway.
Big piece of work. It. Indeed.
That is the dark day for November 4th.
All right. Well,
about as dark as it gets, too.
He is a dark fucking dude.
That's right.
Dark dude. All right. Well, we have a very special episode for you. Coming up next, we are bringing Bailey Sarian into the Killing Time interrogation room. I want the truth.
Raise your right hand.
You can't handle the truth.
Do you solemnly swear to tell truth, whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Today, we are joined by the queen of true crime. You might know her from her massive YouTube series, Murder, Mystery, and Makeup, or I don't know, her number one podcast, Dark History. Or if you're a Pitbull lover, you might know her as Saint's mom. This woman has taken the fucking true crime world by the balls, and she's made an entire lane for herself, and we are so here for it. So hello, Bailey Sarian. Thank you for joining us.
Hi, what an intro. Wow, I sound so incredible.
You are. We're so excited to have
you're just
you.
Like, you're taking over like every aspect of this world, and it's fucking amazing.
It's so insane. I never imagined that it would turn into what it is today. Like, it's just still unbelievable.
It's so crazy. I love it so much.
No, and unique. I mean, you came at it from this completely different perspective. And like, what made you think of marrying the world of like beauty and true crime?
It was a total accident. Well, not an accident. I had been doing YouTube since 2013 and I was doing makeup tutorials. But I'm also just like so many people out there interested in true crime. And it was following heavily the Chris Watts case. Remember when that was all happening?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And it was like he had just done that news interview where it was like, okay, he's guilty. Yeah. Everyone is guilty. And I had like so much built up information on the case, but nobody to talk to about it with. So I was like, what if I just like did my makeup so it makes sense to YouTube, but then like talked about Chris Watts and everything that I've learned. And I kept putting it off for like a couple of months because I was afraid that I was going to get a lot of backlash. And then one day I was like, let me just do it and see what happens. And it happened. It happened.
Oh, it happened.
Did you know that like any of your subscribers on your YouTube channel liked true crime, or was it really just like a shot in the dark? And you're like, I hope that nobody gets extremely offended by this content.
It was a shot in the dark. I mean, I was making an assumption here, but I was like, hey, most women, we like true crime. We're like always watching 2020 and stuff. I don't know what it is. So I was like, let me just see what happens. And yeah. So it was just a total shot in the dark.
Well, and I remember I was watching that episode, rewatching it, you know, to prep for the interview and stuff. And it was funny because you gave a disclaimer. You're like, this is kind of weird. And like, I don't know if I'm doing it right. And I'm going to try my best to like not say anything weird. But it's so funny because I feel like everybody in true crime obviously kind of has that same sentiment when we start talking about anything. But also just anybody out there listening or talking about it at all with their friends is like, this is bizarre, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't make sense, but it makes a lot of sense at the same time.
So it does.
It just works. I don't know, but I think it's cool. I mean, it makes a lot of sense. When you think about it, it makes a lot of sense.
It makes a ton of sense. Yeah. So like going back to the actual beginning, I heard that your mom was a 911 dispatcher. So how did that sort of guide you, if it did at all, into the world of true crime?
Yeah. My mom was a 911 dispatcher for a long time and she would take me to work with her, which we laugh about it now.
Yeah.
But because like, when you think back on it, probably not a great idea to take your kid to listen to 911 calls. Nobody's calling to report great news, you know?
No. Like,
so I would get to sit, listen in with my little headphones and she would just take call after call after call. And I would just get to listen in to everything. And it was fascinating because like what you wanted answers, what's going on, what's happening. Like you want to help them, but you also get no follow-up. You got no closure.
Yeah.
Interesting. Do you remember anything
Whatever
in particular?
Happened to all of them.
Yeah. Do you remember anything in particular that might've stuck out for you?
Yeah. There was this one little girl who called. She was like 7 years old and she was hiding in the closet because somebody broke into the house and she was so scared. And I remember my mom was like trying to calm her down and keep her calm. And it was like, my first time realizing like, oh yeah, this can happen to kids too. Like it's not just adults, you know, it just sat with me. It was different.
And then when you're kind of experiencing this as a child, it's obviously such a bizarre thing for a child to experience in any capacity. Do you think that being exposed to all this darkness, did that desensitize you to what you do today? Or did it like give you more empathy or some of both? Like, how do you think it affected your storytelling today?
Oh man, I am so desensitized. It's not a good thing. Like, it's sad how desensitized we are. But yeah, I mean, I do, of course, have empathy. But for what we do, you kind of have to learn to cut it off. Because if you have too much empathy, you can't tell these stories and be able to carry on with your day because it sits with you all day. So it's like, you kind of have to learn when to cut it off, your emotions and like getting attached. And yeah, so that's kind of where I'm at. Like, of course you want to help and you feel for them, but you also have to learn to protect yourself as well.
Right. I mean, that's Alexis's biggest problem.
Oh yeah. No, well it's all day, every day, but I was just going to ask, like, what do you do to sort of turn it off? I mean, if you're probably researching and learning and obsessing about crimes all day, like I do, like, what do you do to kind of escape the thoughts of that?
So I try to balance it out where I'll do like, if I did a lot of dark stuff today, research, whatever, then I'll make sure to like watch a comedy, go yeah. out and try and do something fun, just anything fun, something that will make me laugh and try to yeah. avoid any extra like dark movies, dark shows, anything like that.
No Squid Game.
Yeah.
Not watching Squid Game after a day of research.
Yes. When I first tried to watch Squid Game, I was like, I had to shut this off. It was intense.
Oh my God. Did you finish it? Or did you quit?
No, I finished it.
Thank God.
But at first I had to turn it off because I was like, oh, I was trying to fall asleep to it. And I was like, this is not a sleeping video.
Squid Game affected me more than any of the research that we've done for any of these true crime things. Like it traumatized me.
Well, because the themes in it are like the great equalizers. Like people understand struggle and like, it's just like, it managed to resonate in all these like very human ways when I watched it, at least that's what I gleaned from it.
Yeah.
But this isn't the Squid Game podcast. This is the Daily podcast for right now. So tell us about your dark history podcast and basically like how you decide what to focus on each week.
So when I would research for murder mystery makeup, I would come across a ton of stories throughout history that were dark, but also didn't really involve or fit into like true crime. So I was like, oh, I want to talk about these stories, but it's not really true crime. So I was waiting. I was originally going to make it a completely different series. But then when I got presented or offered to do a podcast, I was like, let me just do it as a podcast. Like, that'd be so fun. So one of the first ones was like their birth control experiment
yeah.
in Puerto Rico. Like that, never heard of it. I was like, how come it's something we just didn't learn in school? You think we would or something? And it kind of also opened up the door and made me realize how, I don't want to say brainwashed, but you know, in school they focus on how great America is. And you're like, wait, we're really not. No. And like, how come we don't just admit it? Like, it's totally fine to admit that America is shitty. Just be honest. Like, what's yeah. the deal? I don't get it.
What? So looking back at all of these, and you've been doing the podcast now for a little bit, who would you say is the darkest figure in history?
Oh,
that's a good question. I mean, as of right now, based off of what I've learned, Andrew Jackson was so dark.
Interesting.
Oh my God. Okay. And he's on our $20 bill.
Money, and he hated money.
I see that guy all the time.
Yeah, he hated everybody. This is my own personal opinion, but I believe he was on drugs and he was just raging. And just anyone who was in his way, he would just kill him. He didn't care who you were. You're out.
Yeah. I mean, look at the fact that somebody actually said, this guy's going to be on the $20 bill. And then look at his face on the $20 bill, which he just looks like he's out of a horror movie.
Yeah.
It's insane.
He has got that wild electrocuted hair yeah. look. Well, and that was like one of his hollow cheeks.
Yeah. And that was one of his better images.
Like, well, you know, they're like,
that's the one, that's his like life portrait mm-hmm. that they chose for the money that we all see. Every day.
Absolutely. I'm sure all these guys were so much uglier than all of their pictures and drawings yeah. portrayed them to be.
I mean, if I was going to be on money, I'd pick my best picture too.
Yeah.
So I get it. It would be heavily filtered.
Thrown through the filter a couple times. I was going to say, I haven't listened to that episode, but I just listened to the Thomas Edison episode of Dark History. It's just so funny because, I mean, it's like everything we know is wrong. I'm like, it's like Thomas Edison, he's just this like fucked up businessman. That's all he ever was. And we've been brainwashed to think that he was this like incredible inventor.
I mean, to give him credit, he was smart, like a smart businessman, but he didn't invent anything. He took people's idea and just ran with it. Yeah. So why not just call him a great businessman instead?
Bottom line is we wouldn't be sitting in Los Angeles right now without Thomas Edison, because Thomas Edison put the patent on all of the movie cameras. And then everyone was like trying to get as far away from Thomas Edison as possible. And that's why they kept on going all the way out here.
Oh, I did not know that. Hmm. So with Dark History and with murder mystery and makeup, what is the most obscure, unknown, craziest theme or case or anything that you have come across that you're like, why the fuck doesn't everybody know about this?
The one that always comes to my mind is, but I feel like everybody knows about it, but it's Ed Gein. It's just throughout doing research, I have never come across anyone else who went to such an extreme that he did. And if you don't know, like, he was essentially a grave digger and he would cut up people's skin and make stuff out of it. Like
the nipple really belt, right?
Yeah. The nipple belt. He made chairs, lampshades. Yeah. Wall art. I mean, like it's just fascinating. And he was also making himself a bodysuit. Like, what was he doing? You know, like, and I haven't come across any other story like that. And it's just, I don't know. That to me is fascinating. Like what turns someone to wake up one day and like, I'm going to cut skin and make stuff out of it. Like, this is a great idea.
As messed up as it is a reminder that there is like, everybody's got something. And maybe there was a Lady Gein out there somewhere who's into the same thing. I mean, that's his horrible kink. Obviously he probably could have channeled that into like being a seamstress or something a little bit more productive.
Costume designer, you know?
He missed his,
wasn't he doing that basically though? I mean, he was just so demented that he was, there wasn't a Michaels or Hobby Lobby in the area. Michaels. And he decided to use other materials to a very gross display.
Yeah.
I mean, I think from a psychological perspective, it is sort of like a dissociative. He was trying to be someone else. I think everything boils down to simple like themes really, if you look closely.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at Elizabeth Bathory, who was bathing in the virgin's blood, you got to think that, all right, she wanted to be young forever. That was what her thing was. So it goes down to vanity and
little
and
on the nose, little on the nose for me.
She didn't want on the nose.
So Bailey, in the first degree, we steer clear of unsolved cases for the most part. Now on your podcast, do you do the same thing? And if so, why?
On her YouTube.
Oh, on the YouTube. Oh yeah, sorry, YouTube.
For a long time, I was avoiding unsolved just because I like closure. I need closure. I need to sleep at night. But then every once in a while, I'll sprinkle in an unsolved. They're just not my favorite. But maybe somebody out there watching can actually help or has new information. And I like to try and focus on that. But yeah, they're not my favorite.
Okay. So you obviously, you tell so many stories. Have you ever gotten feedback from families or people close to victims? Because obviously you have this massive reach.
Yes, I've definitely been contacted by family members and stuff. And my heart always like drops when I see it. 'Cause I'm like, oh no, like, I just hope it's good. You know, like, I don't know. I just always assume the worst, but it's been really good feedback. I haven't like kept long-term relationships with anybody because the ones who've like reached out are closed cases or older cases. But I'm not opposed to that. There was one lady who reached out who was connected to this lady killer I was talking about, but she didn't want to be named or anything. And she was like, you hit it right on the nose, girl. Like, my family's crazy. And she was just telling me all sorts of stuff. Yeah. And I was like, oh my God. She's like, if you're ever in my area, you have to come out for dinner. And I was like, I'm going to take her up on that for sure.
That is amazing.
That's nice.
Yeah. I always get nervous though, because I don't want to ever offend the families. And I know like if you've never watched one of my videos, it's probably like, what the fuck is she doing? She's doing her makeup and talking about someone getting murdered. You know, like I get it. But then once people watch, you're like, oh, okay. It's not really about the makeup. I'm just doing it to keep myself busy.
Yeah. And you like it. The way that you talk about things is very tasteful and it's never offensive or, you know, there's a lot of people that will go into like gory details of certain things. And you never kind of like go on that side of things.
Yeah. No, it's not like, it's not gratuitous. It's very, you know, straightforward and respectful.
Yeah. I try my best to keep it that way. I mean, I feel like you can get the story and an understanding of the story without all the gory details.
Yeah.
I don't need to hear it.
No.
Oh, totally. We all get enough of that in this dark, dark world as it is. So similarly to people, you know, reaching back with positive feedback, do you ever get family members of people connected to cases reaching out and asking you to cover a case, you know, to draw attention to specific causes related to that case or draw attention to cases in general?
Every day I get so many and it's hard because of course you want to save the world. Yeah. Effort. You know, you're like, I want to help everybody. Like, oh my God. And their stories are so touching and you just want to do the right thing. But at the same time, you can't save the world, you know? So I do every day. I do every day, but I don't know.
It's hard. It's so hard. It's so hard to get an emotionally charged email being like, please cover this. And there are reasons you want to, and there's reasons you can't. And it's like, all you want to do is offer a little bit of relief to this person who's obviously in so much pain. And it's more complicated than just saying yes. And I just, given your reach, we assumed that you must get so many requests and we were just wondering how it does that affect you?
Oh yeah. Because, it makes me feel guilty because, yeah. A lot of times, you know, they just don't understand. They just think I'm being snobby or ignoring them or something. I don't care. And it's not that, it's just, for legal reasons, you have to be really careful.
Right.
And also just sometimes you just can't. You know,
there's so many of them too. I mean, if you're getting 50 emails a day, and that's what, you know, people always,
it's a year's worth of podcasts. Yeah. If you're getting 50 a day, there's only 54, 52, however many weeks.
Don't worry about it. Yeah. No, but that's the biggest thing.
Talking about leap years.
Yeah. People always ask me like, you know, do you ever get down or about, you know, like psychologically or anything like that with the content? It's no, it's just the not being able to do all of them. That's the biggest thing that gets to me because there's so many people out there that are hurting.
Yeah. And they just want answers and they want help and they just want to be heard and seen. And I totally get it. But it's like, you just don't know what to do. You're put in a hard spot.
Yeah,
absolutely. Okay. Steering away from true crime. You have the most amazing tattoos. So many.
Thanks.
I want to know, I have zero tattoos because I'm too scared to get one. Not because of the pain, just because of the permanency of it. What is your absolute favorite tattoo on your body? And do you have one that you have covered up, want to cover up, is embarrassing? Alexis right here has a tramp stamp that she just covered up recently. So I'm sure she can.
I had it removed. Okay.
Removed.
And I have two tattoos I regret. Thank you very much.
How was the removal process?
Horrible.
Okay. So it was terrible. Jack came with me once because I was like, let me show you how bad this is. And Jack held my hand and she was laughing the whole time, which was crazy because I was like crying. They shoot you with a laser and your skin frosts immediately. Like it blisters on contact. And I was like, Jack then believed me about how bad
it was the most painful I've ever seen anybody in their entire life. Like it looked horrendous.
Yeah, I just feel like technology has come so far. You would think they would have like a better way of doing it by now. But
it works. It truly works.
Yeah. Well, my favorite tattoo is my shin. I have a peacock on my shin. I love it. It's my favorite. It's just colorful. It's pretty. It's traditional. I really like traditional. Yeah.
Did the shin hurt?
No.
Really?
Yeah. It's like right at the ankle is where I was like, okay, like I got to tap out. And then right towards the knee, but the shin, I could fall asleep.
Really?
Wow. Oh,
my shin was probably, out of all my tattoos, my shin was the worst one.
Really?
Yeah, I still think about it now. Yeah.
I hope men listening to this are like, this is why women are badass and not worth, don't mess with them. Like, we're like, nope, you know, I got my skin charred. And you're like, yeah, it's not, I fell asleep while I was being like blasted by needles on my shin. Like, yeah. Other day, women's pain tolerance is so much. And Billy's like, my shin was really painful. Well, he does. And you're like, I felt nothing.
He doesn't have to go through a period every,
I don't.
Once a month. So,
or birth. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. But then you always just hear about other people will say like, oh, my hand hurt, my arm hurt. But I think everyone just has different, like it hurts differently for everybody because my back was painful. And some people say their back was easy peasy. Mm-hmm. So I don't get it.
Wait, so what, do you have a tattoo you regret or that you?
I mean, I kind of regret my right arm because I didn't have a theme. Mm. So I just have like random tattoos everywhere. And I wish I had a theme to it. So like, if I could redo it, I would. And if doing laser removal was easy, totally would get this removed and redo it.
Do your tattoos, are they colorful or are they dark?
Yeah, I do all color. I like color. But my left arm is like a theme. It's like roses and spiders and colorful, pretty. And then my right arm is just so random.
I'm telling you, tattoo removal works. It's just the in-between process where it's like half removed that you would hate. Like, is it truly works? I mean, it shocks me how well it works. It's just like takes a year, 2 years.
Yeah. See, that's not worth it.
No.
I think it's not. Like cover it or something. We'll see.
So beyond the tattoos, you have other very aesthetically pleasing things going on, like all the amazing things you do with makeup. Oh. So Jack and I don't have any idea what you're doing. So not what you're doing, what we're doing with makeup. Nothing. So like, what is your obsession with makeup right now? What are some tips that we should know? Like, tell us your wild,
or like a must have ways. Something that like I'm missing.
Product.
Well, first of all, skincare is the most important thing of the whole routine.
Like that we've got on.
Yeah. If your skin is right, then foundation, everything will just kind of lay perfectly. But right now, like I'm so obsessed with One Size Beauty. They make a foundation powder. Let me show you because it's right.
One
here.
Size? Oh my God, never heard please. Of that before.
Patrick Starr.
Oh,
and
okay.
Sephora. And it's a foundation powder. I think I got like every color, but you can use it wet or dry. And it just gives you beautiful full coverage, but it's smooth and like no pores.
Yes.
It's incredible.
Yes.
In love with this powder. Like I use it every single day.
Is that, I don't know how old you are exactly. Is that good for like, once you need a lot of Botox and like the crow's feet, like, does it sink into all of your aging?
I'm 32 and I mean, like, I don't have that many wrinkles luckily so far, but,
you have no wrinkles.
You're literally perfect.
Oh, thanks guys.
I mean, we're all doing pretty well in the wrinkle category, even you, Billy. Good.
But, no, because it has like a hydrating feel to it. It's smoothing it. I don't know how they do it, but it like blurs the skin. It's beautiful. Ooh,
yes. Yeah. Well, love okay. That.
You know what? So it's got like, it gives you like a dewy finish.
Well, that brings up something because, and I understand that true crime is really 90% female. And what about men's makeup? Will you ever do a men's makeup tutorial? Because as somebody that has to put on his own makeup often when we go on TV, I would like somebody to tell me that while doing true crime.
Oh. Billy, I do your makeup.
You don't do my... You did my makeup once.
Several times.
Really?
Oh, give me some credit.
Yeah. Makeup artist now.
Yes.
But no, that's a good idea because I could use my fiance as my my model.
Yes.
We would like God. To see that.
Yeah.
Wait, where'd you meet your fiance? I want to know more.
He gave me my first tattoo when I was 18.
No way.
Wait, have you been together since then?
Oh, so he gave me my first tattoo and he tried to like ask me out at that point, but I was eight. No, it didn't work out. And then 7 years later, we re-met at his tattoo shop and then we went out and we've been together ever since.
Oh my God, I love this story. I love a full circle relationship moment. My boyfriend and I have known each other for 12 years, but have been dating for 3. Like it's great. It's just great to circle back around.
Yeah. And it's just like a different comfort level with this. You know, like you know them and I don't know, it's just different.
Guys, this is so cute. Love it.
Okay. I'm touched. Okay, we're gonna end this segment on that note and we'll be back in a moment.
When I was growing up, I took French in high school, but I could never get the language to stick. I wanted to be fluent so bad, but it never happened. I just couldn't focus and I couldn't practice enough and it didn't work. But thankfully, there's Rosetta Stone, which is the most trusted language learning program, and it's available on desktop or it can be used as an app on your phone or tablet. Rosetta Stone is different. It immerses you in so many ways. And with its intuitive process, you can pick up any language naturally, first with words, then phrases, and then sentences. And before you know it, boom, conversations. Plus, with Rosetta Stone's true accent feature, you'll get feedback on how well you're pronouncing words. It's like having a personal trainer for your accent. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, the First Degree listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/first. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/first today. Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options and more than 60 add-ons every week. What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for all of your springtime goals. If you don't have time, Factor's ready-to-eat meals are on the table in 2 minutes. So you just get to eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, cleaning up. You really just heat and savor the good stuff without all of the stress. You can customize your weekly meals with as much or as little as you need. Plus, you can pause and reschedule your deliveries to suit your lifestyle. Factor is your solution to premium, fast meals without the need for cooking. And they're celebrating Earth Day all month long. So look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for their lowest carbon footprint meals. I'm so busy, so it's amazing to just have Factor meals in the fridge for whenever I realize that I'm starving and I don't have any time to cook anything. They're amazing, they're healthy, and they keep you fueled all day long. Head to factormeals.com/degree50 and use code degree50 to get 50% off your first month, plus 20% off your next month. That's degree50 at factormeals.com/degree50. 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
Hey, there's no reason to feel sad or guilty about the things you aren't using anymore. Whether it was a fancy dress you wore to a gala, expensive heels that only go with one of your outfits, or that crossbody bag from when you were in your music festival era. Somebody out there wants what you don't, and the real world makes it easy to get it to them. When your past becomes their future, everyone wins, especially the planet. For the real real, Earth Month isn't just another month. It's what they do every day. At any given moment, they're finding new homes for over 1 million unique items within their community of 35 plus million people. They're the largest luxury reseller in the world, and making a tangible difference towards a more sustainable future for fashion. Resale reduces the amount of fashion waste in landfills, lowers greenhouse gas emissions, and offers an alternative to the cycle of consumption propagated by fast fashion. The RealReal has kept over 37 million items in circulation and out of landfills. This month only, new shoppers get 20% off when they shop on therealreal.com using code FIRST. That's therealreal.com using the code FIRST.
Okay, so for this section of our podcast, we have four questions that we ask every single guest. And it's just every true crime fan is dying to know this about anybody that's in true crime. So the first question is, what is the case that got you into true crime?
JonBenet Ramsey.
Us too.
Everyone? Yeah.
Who do you think did it?
The brother. It makes sense.
You do?
Billy does too.
Yeah. because it makes sense that the parents would want to protect him. I mean, they already lost one daughter. They don't want to lose the son. Their family's going to look really bad. Their name is going to be tarnished. It makes sense. Mm. Like something's off with him.
It is. It is the case that divides us all. Yeah. All the time.
It does divide us all.
What do you guys think?
I think it's an intruder.
I think it's an intruder too. The only reason that I don't think it's the brother is because there's like certain aspects, like the putting the thing around her neck. Mm-hmm. It doesn't. Why would a parent or, you know, it's just sort of like seems such. It seems like even if they were trying to cover. Like it's a little over the top.
Yeah. That's the only thing with me that brings it against that. Yeah.
Nothing makes sense in that case. Like nothing, like when you,
the intruder doesn't make sense either. Nothing no, does. The letter
doesn't make sense.
Knowing the amount of his bonus and none of the
references
it's all just,
to like recent movies, you know, in the letter. It's just crazy. Okay. Here's the next one. What is the one case that you would like to see solved before you die?
Probably John.
JonBenet Ramsey.
Yes.
Sam. Oh, we need to know who did it. I'm tired of all these theories.
No,
I did it.
We need to know, and we're never going to find out. Like, it's just.
I will not accept that. We have to find out. Like, somebody has to confess on their deathbed or something. No,
somebody's grandpa's going to die, and they're going to go through all their stuff, and there's going to be some confession in a diary in an attic or in a state. Maybe.
They're
going to
need more than
not.
That, though. They're going to need physical proof because we've seen confessions a lot.
If he's the neighbor of JonBenet Ramsey, then I think it'll work.
Yeah. And whatever. I can't wait for that day. It's going to happen. I believe it.
I think so.
I will. It's the day that like the true crime world as a collective has been waiting for, I think.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
We'll be waiting for.
We'll close the book. It's just all over.
We're like, we don't care anymore. It's like,
yeah, we're done.
Everybody like
every true crime podcast shuts down after it's solved.
Cause it's like
what we were all chasing.
JonBenet was the beginning for so many of us. Like we're all around the same age. The three ladies in this Zoom room.
Sorry, Billy.
Yeah, mine was John Wilkes Booth and the assassination because I was there. I was in the theater that night. And, it was shocking.
He's like, mine is Jack the Ripper.
Yeah. Might have been me. No, but I feel like for like anybody our age, because we're all around. I think JonBenet would be around our age if she was still alive. Like I feel like we all have that personal connection to that because it could have been, you know, any of us at any time. So.
Plus, I think it was like the first time as a kid, you realize like, oh, I could die.
Yes.
People want to kill kids.
Yeah.
Like what?
It like, it didn't, like, I remember thinking as a kid, like, oh, I could die. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, I think we fail to realize the trauma of being like, you're not safe at home.
Yes. Yeah.
You're not safe at home. The parents are accused. Mm-hmm. Like the parents are the main suspect. Like all the things that we feel and took comfort in during our childhoods were called into question, you know, like you're not safe at home and your parents could have done it or your brother or a neighbor. It's
well,
just
anybody
like
that you trust.
All the results
or
are
Santa Claus.
Yeah. Santa Claus.
Santa Claus.
Santa Claus. He had that fucking vial of glitter that she gave him and he brought it with him to his little surgery and she was a special friend.
So creepy.
Even if you're rich, you're still like, you still could die young. Yes. That's me. I was like, wow, rich people could die too. Like
rich, gorgeous beauty queens can, you know, it's like no one's safe. And that's I think the most ominous part of true crime. It's like, it is a great equalizer. There's pain in every community and demographic.
What's the cases you guys would want to see solved?
JonBenet.
Long Island serial killer and Zodiac now with all the Zodiac resurgences lately, like, and all the, Billy's got opinions on, and I don't know, I have none on whether this most recent suspect, there's any credence there, but like, what an old, interesting case that I feel like, and Billy, don't they have
DNA, don't it? But
yeah,
they have possible partial DNA from the envelope. But apparently back in the day, you would just give an envelope to the post office and they would lick the stamp themselves
and put it on.
So there's a bunch of, there's, that would be the only thing, but the ropes, I think from Lake Berryessa could have something if they want to end back them, but they've never done that. Who knows how many people have touched those things too. So the rough one, I would say those two as well, Lisk and Zodiac, for me, what is your true crime unpopular opinion, Bailey?
Stop showing graphic images and playing 911 calls. I just feel like when you're calling 911, it's such a vulnerable moment in your life that you never would think tons of people are going to listen to, first of all.
Mm-hmm.
scared, you're just all these emotions. And then people use it in like videos and TV shows and stuff. It's just sad. And then seeing like graphic crime scene photos or just graphic images in general. I mean, yeah, we're curious, but we're so desensitized, and it's none of our business at the end of the day, you know?
I mean, I think if you ask anyone who's alive what their greatest fear would, like for me, I'm like seeing my dead body is like right at the top of the list. Like, especially if it's compromised or degraded, or it's just like dehumanizing. And I was watching, what was I watching? I was watching a Snapped episode for research. It was on Amazon Prime. It wasn't on cable, but they showed an entire body on Snapped. And I was blown away. And I sent it to like 10 people I knew. I'm like, did you know they were doing this on cable TV? It was just like mind blowing. And I totally agree with you. It's so fucked up to the families.
Well, yeah. I mean, you had a whole life. You were a whole person. And that's now how we know this person as.
I also think like judging people, like when people play the 911 calls and on a podcast or whatever, and then people have their commentary and they're like trying to pick apart somebody's like inflection of their voice or just like the way that they're responding. It's the same thing where it's like everybody responds so differently in grief or in panic or in survival trauma mode that it's like, I think trying to pick apart somebody's 911 call or their first, you know, whatever, if they're like thrown into police questioning or whatever, like that's got to stop because people just respond in such bizarre ways when they're put under such stress.
Yeah, I agree. Mm. It's just sad. I just would never want that, but people do it. I watched a YouTube video the other day. There's some true crimer YouTuber, and they showed a very graphic image of this girl who got in a car accident. And she, I guess, was driving like on drugs or something. And they had did a voiceover in the video that was like, I'm only showing this image to warn you of what driving under the influence can do. And it was like, okay, I could see that. But at the same time, no,
like we gotta
And you have 18 ads. I felt that's really the thing.
It's like, I mean, you have that. Icky. They used to show us those videos in school.
Yeah,
but they didn't have ads surrounding them saying
nobody's making PSA, money. There were public service announcements.
Yeah, nobody was just like, I won't mention the advertisement.
And usually the PSAs were like approved by the families, and like they were talking about like what happened. If you don't have the family's approval or some input on your video, I don't know if you. My pictures.
No,
totally. Okay. So Bailey, last question of our fast ones. Do you think human beings in general, given all the true crime you've researched, all the dark history you've researched, do you think people are inherently good or inherently evil?
I think people are both. It's just we're different layers or levels of good and evil.
When you strip it down to the most primal, like if you really strip it down to the most primal aspects of the human condition, like, is there a prevailing side?
Ooh.
I'm sorry, I didn't accept your initial answer.
I get it. I want to say we're always looking out for ourselves at the end of the day. And like, you will do anything you can to protect you and your loved ones. Mm-hmm. And that means anything.
But could not playing the devil's advocate be good? Is it evil to be protective of you and yours? You know, I think
subjective.
It's quite subjective. Mm-hmm. And we could probably go on a philosophical tirade about either side for quite a long time. So we'll spare you.
I feel like that's the general, like, for anybody that has really been immersed in true crime and has had to see these really horrific stories, I think that that's like kind of the general answer that we've been given. And I think that answer would be different from like a general public's perspective, you know, because people want to believe people are good.
Yeah. I think people are generally good, but Bailey, I think you hit it on the head. It's just like, you're still going to protect yourself first, and then your family second, and then, you know, your sort of community, whatever that is, third. And people just, you know, section themselves off that way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And doing that isn't evil. It's good on your end, but the perception from other people, that's evil. Yeah. You know, because we're told that you're supposed to care about everybody and stuff. So it's mainly like a society problem, really. They put too much pressure on us to be good or evil.
Yeah. Really cool. We're all nuanced. And you know, it's all about perspective. Things can be good or evil from different vantage points, mm-hmm. talking about the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, you're somebody's worst enemy and you don't even know it.
Which gets us to our last question. Bailey, are you good or evil? That's the question.
Good. She's like, don't
obviously
ask me that.
Bailey. Yeah, like, that's a obviously great good.
That's a great one.
Okay. So worsty firsties, this is a real treat. So brace yourselves. So Bailey has brought with her version of the worst thing she's ever done. And Bailey, we are dying to know.
Yeah.
Tell us your sins.
Well, it really depends. I mean, it's not the worst in the world. Okay, shut up. So in high school, towards the end of senior year, I was the good kid growing up, right? And like the quiet one, always following the rules. And then finally, towards the end of my senior year, I was like, I don't want to follow the rules anymore. So then I started filling up water bottles with vodka.
Yes.
And I brought them to school and was drinking straight vodka from water bottles. And then one day I met this guy in the girls' bathroom on like during one of the classes. And I was going
to. Was he supposed to be in there?
Well, I was meeting him to give him the alcohol.
Oh my God. You were like, you were like a pusher. Yeah.
So I was giving him the alcohol. And then we were in like one of the stalls. And then we started making out.
Ooh.
We were kind of drunk. And then a security guard walked in and I got caught and suspended from school. And it was like a whole, my parents were pissed. And yeah, that was probably the worst thing I've ever done.
Question. Wow. Wait. So many questions. Me first. Were you drunk when they caught you?
I had like two sips of vodka. I wasn't drunk, but I really liked this guy. So I was like, oh my God, I'm drunk.
Let's get silly. My inhibitions are lower.
Yeah, I was like, oh my God, let's get out. I don't know what I'm doing.
So if I do anything stupid, you won't remember. Neither will I.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Oh my God. I can identify with this so much because I was also the good kid. Oh, I mean, I haven't like done anything wrong in my parents' eyes, really. But my like craziest thing when I did when I was younger was stealing my parents' vodka and filling it up with water and drinking it with their blue Gatorade. So
Faderade. Yeah.
No, everyone, what I love about all of this is that like, you're a woman of my own heart because like, this is the only bad, everything I did in high school was like this, everything. I had no supervision. I was a terrible kid. And then I like pulled it all together right after high school, really. I think it was just rebelling. But every story from high school sounds like this for me. So I'm like, yes, like,
yeah,
I know what that's like. I did this weird shit too.
You know what I was expecting? How cool would it have been if like Bailey was like, so a security guard walks in and me and the guy are like, we can't have this on our record. So we had to do something about it. And we killed him and then buried him in the backyard. That's where I was expecting that to go, which would have been amazing.
You were expecting it to go that way,
Bailey. A little bit. Come on. You got it.
Bailey,
I'd rather go there than detention.
I'm like, but LOL, JK, I didn't do that. JK,
don't worry about it. Be like, okay.
So did they ever find out that you were like supplying the vodka for the rest of the student body?
I didn't say the rest. I said,
and in a bathroom still.
Yeah. Yeah, he ratted me out. He was like, she brought it for me. And I was like, you bitch, you ass.
I love that though. This, like I said, I really resonate with it as like a fellow good kid. So some of the worst things that we've gotten sent to us is one of our listeners stole a Hello Kitty eraser when she was 7 years old. And she like still lives with that guilt today. So
yeah, I mean, I would too.
Right?
I have a way worse things to feel guilty about, frankly.
Alexis does real bad things. Well, thank you so much for being here.
When I wasn't supervised.
We all have different paths.
I'm working through it in therapy, okay? And I've clearly like atoned given all my work.
Yes, exactly. Good.
That's all that matters.
That is all that matters.
Thank you.
Bailey, thank you so much for being here. This was so fun.
Thank you so much.
Truly, you're amazing.
Yeah. I got to honored.
And where can everybody find you if they don't already know you already? Everybody knows you. But yes, it's just.
No. Oh, no. You can find me on YouTube. My name is Bailey Sarian. Or you can look up Murder, Mystery, and Makeup. I do that every Monday. And then also, I have a podcast called Dark History that you can find wherever you listen to podcasts. Comes out every Wednesday.
Yay. Uh-huh.
Yay.
And then Instagram and all that, Bailey Sarian.
TikTok, no big deal. You have more followers than us on every single thing. It's fine. I hate
TikTok, but don't tell them that.
But your TikToks are good. I was watching them today. I'm like, you actually like know how to do TikTok, like, and not in the cringy way.
Oh, that's a compliment. Okay. Yeah. I don't know. I'm so like insecure on TikTok.
No, it's great.
You're doing great.
I don't know what I'm doing over there. I'm like, I don't know. These kids are.
What do I do?
Yeah, try being a 49-year-old male and doing your first TikTok video this morning. And that was basically what I was doing. But
you're like, do I dance or something? Why does everyone do hand things?
No dancing. I know. You're like, and then he was murdered.
Yeah, he was murdered.
Oh my God. Insane. Well, thank you so much for being here.
This is awesome, Bailey. Thank you.
Thanks, Bailey.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.